song, When God Ran. And I get an image of a, you know, kind of a father about like me, built kind of like I am, running. You know, that's quite a picture, isn't it? Amen. It takes a lot of motivation to get somebody like me to run. You know, there was a time I ran just because I liked it. Now I run when I get motivated. Amen. But the father was motivated because of his son. And when he saw him walking back down that road after being gone such a long time, love inspired him, put wings in his feet, drove him to embrace his son, perhaps still covered with the stench of a pig pen and husk in his pockets. Amen. He didn't wait for him to get home. He didn't wait for him to get perfect. Amen. And that's something we all need to understand today. God's not waiting on you to get perfect. God's not waiting on you to get it all together. You never will. You never can. He's just going to take you just like you are. And as the poet said, you don't get good to get God, but you get God to get good. And once He gets on the inside, then things can change. Amen. Let's go to the book of Joshua this morning, the second chapter. I'm just going to read one verse to start with. Most of what we have to say today will be focused here in the second chapter. Thank you, sir. Joshua chapter 2, verse 21. Joshua chapter 2, verse 21. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. I started to call this message Hope on a Rope, but I thought that might be a little trivial. So I decided to call it Saved by a Scarlet Cord. Saved by scarlet cord. Lord bless you, and you may be seated. This story is amazing. It has so many interesting details and unlikely things. It begins with Joshua chapter 2. They have they're ready to cross over into the promised land. And the strongest city in the area, is going to be Jericho. It's a walled city and has large walls. And so Joshua sends two men into the country, and he says, I want you to go look over it, and especially I want you to look at Jericho. And what he was saying is, I want you to tell me what the strengths are and where the water is, just do a reconnaissance of the area and with a soldier's eye toward conquering and conquest. And so they come to the city of Jericho, these two soldiers. And this is the interesting thing, this is a very unusual story. Of all the houses that they could have gone to in Jericho, they went to the house of Rahab. And Rahab was a harlot. I mean, there's no getting around the facts here, folks. There's nothing illicit in the story. There's nothing that tells us that they were carnally involved with her. But that's the house they went to. And as we discover the details of the story, God was involved in that decision. Very interesting, huh? You see, we can tell the whole story now, but if we would have been telling as it went along, it would have shocked us, wouldn't it? That they would go to such a place. But they went to the house of Rahab, and the Bible says that her house was literally built on top of the wall of the city. My, what a place. It would have been easier to escape from there if they had a way out. But it seems that the Lord sent them to this house. And so they get to the house of Rahab, and they're not there perhaps very long, and there's a knock on the door, and she quickly tells them, go to the roof. Now you got to understand, when we talk about going to the roof, it's not like this. It's not slanted like this one is. Amen. As a matter of fact, there's not a lot of rain in the Middle East. And so a lot of the houses literally have flat roofs. And they actually, it's like another workplace. They actually work on the roof. And that's what she did. We'll see that in a moment. They actually go up on the roof and they have chairs up there. And it's a, you know, it's a place where they can work and do things, and they get the breeze blowing, and it's a cooler place, and they can build some shade up there. And so that's the kind of roof we're talking about. And so she tells them, quickly, go up to the roof. And she goes to the door. And there are soldiers there from the king. And they said, we heard that two men came here, and they're spies from Israel. I want you to bring them out to us. And here's another thing about the story that doesn't jive with what we usually would think, but she actually lied to them. There's no two ways about it. She lied to them. Now, God never condones lying. You say that again. God never condones lying. Ever. God never condones sin. Ever. But she did. She lied to them. She said that there came men unto me, and I didn't know where they were from. And said it was about the time that in the evening time they shut the gates. So she said it's about the time of the shutting of the gates. And she said all of a sudden they went out the gate, and they didn't tell me where they were going. And that's the last I saw of them. But if you'll send some men after them, I'm sure you can catch up with them. And that was a lie. They didn't go out the gate. She sent them up on a roof. And so that's an interesting part of the story. Is God never condones that. It's you don't have to lie for God. He has other ways of doing things. And perhaps sometimes we miss out on a miracle of God's provision because we shortcut things by doing something God cannot condone. And that was perhaps the case, or I don't know, but we'll never know what it could have been. We only know what was. And so she sent men up to the roof, and then the Bible said that she goes up on the roof, and she has these sheaves of flax up there. These are leaves that they make linen from, and they're about 3 feet long. And so the idea was to cover them up with those big leaves and keep them covered until it was safe to leave. And so she comes up to the roof, and when we get to verse number 9, we really begin to understand some things. The Bible said, and listen to this very carefully. Now, I understand, when I get to verse 9, I understand why God sent these men to that house. Of all the houses in Jericho, the house of Rahab the harlot, because listen to what was in her heart. You see, you don't know what's in people's heart. She already had a label. She already had a reputation. But nobody knew what was in her heart until she opened her mouth and began to say the things that were there. Listen to what she said. She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did under the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Woo! What a statement. Praise the Lord. Now I understand why they went to Rahab's house. Because here is a woman of faith. Did not the Bible say man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart? And God saw the faith of Rahab, and His heart was moved toward her redemption. And so Rahab expresses her great faith in God. And then there's a prayer that's made. Now listen, verse number 12. She said, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." Amen. Here's boldness. Here's prayer. Here's hope. I've done a good thing for you. I'm asking you to ask your God to do something good for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's a bold prayer that she makes. And she's asking these men for help in the name of the Lord. You see, she has great faith in God, doesn't she? She said, "I know your God. We have heard what your God has done. And I know that your God is God in heaven and God on earth." She didn't know the Lord yet herself, but as close as she could get was to these two men that did know the Lord. And so the men give her a promise. And they said, "Our life for yours." They said, "When the Lord has given us the land, we will deal kindly and truly with you." Amen. Now listen, the Bible says, "Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall." So she lets the men go, and she tells them, they say, "The Lord is going to deal kindly with you. God is going to spare you. God is going to do what you have asked of Him to do." And then they make a covenant with her. You see, God expected something. And there had to be a sign and a symbol of her faith. And this is what they said. "Behold, we have come into thy land. Thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window that thou didst let us down by." And then he said, "I want you to bring your mother and your father and your sisters and your brothers, and you get everybody in the house, and don't let them go out. Keep them in the house." Amen. They've got to be in the house where the gold or where the scarlet cord is. Amen. Praise God. And so she made a promise. And the Bible said, after she let them down, that she tied that cord just as tight as she could possibly get it in that window. Now, I don't know what that said to other people. I don't know what kind of talk that caused other people to spread around town, or the stories that may have been told. But I'm telling you one thing. When Rahab saw that scarlet cord It reminded her of a promise. It reminded her of an agreement that she made, and of a hope and of a faith that she had in God, because she knew one thing. She knew that Israel would come into the land, and she knew that God was going to give Jericho to the Jews. She knew that. And her only hope and her only faith was in that scarlet cord. But when the Israelites saw that, and when God saw that, that He was going to respect the promise that had been made to her. Go over to the book of Joshua in the 6th chapter. You have the conquest of Jericho. Perhaps we remember singing the story in Sunday school. We used to sing about it. Amen. How Joshua marched around the walls 7 times. Remember that? Amen. Every day they marched around the walls. On the 7th day they marched around 7 times. And then the Levites and the priests lift the ram's horns and the trumpets to their mouth, and they begin to blow the sound. And when they hear that, all the people begin to shout with a loud voice of triumph. And the Bible said those mighty walls fell down flat. I don't mean they fell over sideways. They would have had to climb over them, and that would have been a chore in itself. But they just kind of like an elevator, and went down. Isn't that amazing? Amen. It's as if the earth just kind of swallowed up right under where it was and just said, all right, and the walls went down. Amen. And the city was conquered. The soldiers ran into the city with a voice of triumph. But in the middle of all of this going on, Joshua lifted up his voice and he said, go unto the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the spies ran in to where the scarlet cord was still swinging in the breeze. Hallelujah. And they brought Rahab and all of her family out of her house. And the family of all the families of the city were spared. And everything that she had was still her very own. Amen. And the Bible said in the 25th verse that Rahab dwells in Israel even unto this day. As is right in the story, he said, she's still among us. She's still here. Amen. All because she tied a scarlet thread in a window. Can anybody tie a rope? Amen. Could you tie a rope around a little post in a window? And that's not real hard to do, is it? That's not a hard job. But it's what was required. Amen. And yet, that scarlet thread is still what's going to save us. It started with Abel in the Old Testament. It flowed down through his brother Seth, down through the Noahic covenant, down through the Abrahamic covenant, down through the Mosaic covenant, down through Jesus Christ, until it finally reaches into 2012 in Athens, Texas on a Sunday morning. That scarlet thread of promise, the blood of Jesus Christ, it's still here today. And that's still the only redemption. And there is no other. Amen. But hear me today. The covenant still, there's some things you've got to do. You don't have to tie a rope. Amen. But you know what? There is a promise. Praise God. The Bible said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. That scarlet promise, it's still here today. There's still a promise salvation if we will respond. Amen. But you know what? If Rahab had not tied the cord, the word was not enough. The promise was not enough. There was something she had to do. Amen. The book of Hebrews chapter 11, 31 says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies in peace. Everybody say, by faith. So it was by faith. But James said it this way, James 2 and 25. He said, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works. By works. So what was it? Was it by faith or was it by works? It's by both. Amen. She was saved by faith because she believed the promise, but she tied the cord. Amen. She obeyed what she heard. I know people today, this is a big argument among theologians. We're saved by faith. Yes, we are. But only if we obey the promise. Amen. Some people say, well, I don't believe in baptism because that's works and you don't have to be baptized. Well, baptism is not works. It's obedience. It's obedience. Amen. It's doing what the Lord said to do. And it's not asking too much. Is that right? Amen. Hey, I think it's one of the greatest things. If that's all I've got to do to get my sins washed away, I'm all for it. If that's all God requires to get me right and clean in the sight of God, let me at the water. Amen. Lead me to the baptistry. Hallelujah. If that's all I've got to do, it's exciting tonight. It's as simple as tying the cord. Amen. But it's necessary. It's not optional. Amen. It requires a decision and it requires obedience. Amen. It doesn't need to be debated and discussed. It just needs to be obeyed. I don't know what went on in Rahab's house. I don't know what her mom and dad, brothers and sisters said. I don't know what kind of discussion they had. Maybe they said, what in the world are you doing tying that in the window? What's that thing for? And she said, mom and dad, brother and sister, this is going to save us. And they might have laughed about it. And said, how can a scarlet cord hanging out of a window save anybody? You just wait and see. You just wait and see. How could baptism save anybody? You just wait and see. Amen. Because one of these days, we're going to be getting out of here. Hallelujah. And some of those folks that said, well, I don't know about baptism. I don't know if that's necessary. They're going to watch us leave in this world. Amen. And I reckon it was. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just simple, folks. You just got to obey. Obey. Just like being saved by a scarlet cord. Amen. We're saved by the blood. And we apply the blood through the waters of baptism. Amen. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, I encourage you to take that step. Amen. It's right. It's ready. It's time. It's something that you need to do. It's biblical. The Bible declares it. It's not declared as an option in the New Testament. People that believe were baptized. I said people that believe were baptized. It just follows just as naturally as the promise. Because you see, when you tell God that you believe, the way you express that is through your action of baptism. Amen. You're just obeying God, doing what He asks you to do. And He never asks us to do anything difficult. Amen. Thank God for the blood that saves us today. Thank God for the blood. It flows all the way through the Old Testament, through the veins of Jesus Christ, and comes to the church today. And it's still that scarlet thread of promise that saves us and redeems us. Amen. Isn't it marvelous that God would take somebody that had such a sad past and full of scars and pain and a bad reputation and a bad name, and put her right in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what happened? When Rahab got to Israel, she married a man by the name of Salmon. Amen. And she married a Jew. And she had a son by the name of Boaz. Amen. And you remember Boaz married somebody by the name of Ruth. Kind of run the family, didn't it? Marrying these strange women here. Amen. And then Ruth had a little son by the name of Obed. And Obed, when he got married, he had a little boy by the name of Jesse. And then one day, Jesse, he had a little boy by the name of David. Anybody ever heard of him? He's the one that killed Goliath, became the great king of Israel, wrote half of the Psalms in the songbook. Amen. He was a great man of God. Amen. But it all flowed right down through the veins of Rahab. It's not what you were, it's what you are that matters to God. He doesn't care where you've been or what you've done. What He wants to know is what you're going to do today. What are you going to do about now? What are you going to do about the promise today? Amen. What's going to be your decision this morning? Let's stand together. God's not so concerned about the past as He is about the present and about the future. Amen. You can make change today if you want to. You can change it all today. Amen. I'm sure that Rahab saw her opportunity when those men came to her house. Nobody could have known the hope that beat in her heart. But when those soldiers stepped in and she finally got an opportunity to express her faith, she said, "I know about your God. I know what your God can do. I know what your God is going to do. Amen. And I just want to get in on it." Amen. Let me in on it. Praise the Lord. I know He's going to destroy this place and He's going to raise up something better. Just let me get in on it today. How about you? Would you like to get in on something better? Amen. Praise God. Here's an altar. God will meet you here. Amen. If your life needs straightening out, He's the only one that knows how to straighten it. Amen. If there's something needs fixing, He's the only one that can fix it. If there's something that needs forgiving, He can forgive it. Amen. He will, if you'll just give Him an opportunity. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is in the house. And that scarlet thread is waving in this place. Get in. Stay in. Bring your mother in. Bring your father in. Bring your brothers. Bring your sisters. Bring everybody. Amen. And let's keep them in the house. There's a judgment coming upon this place. And the only place that's going to be safe is where the scarlet is, where the blood is. Blood of Jesus Christ. If you have not applied that to your life, let's apply it today. Amen. If you're not covered yet, get covered today. Amen. It's here in this house. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's find a place of prayer for a few moments here this morning. And let's thank God for the promise. Let's thank God that we're covered with the blood. That we're covered with the blood. That we have found that scarlet thread. Amen. And it waves proudly today in my heart, in my house. Jesus, I thank You for the blood today. Oh, I thank You for the blood today, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, that waves proudly from the staff of my heart. I give You praise, I give You praise, I give You praise, I give You praise. I give You praise, I give You praise, I give You praise. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You for cleansing. Thank You for washing. Thank You for hope. Thank You for help. Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.